Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Welcome to another exciting edition of The Thought Police. We're into week 12, I think, of the Labour government, Kevin. Kevin O'Sullivan is here. How are you?
I'm very well.
Fulham we've got to talk about later on.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about Fulham for the whole
Mohammed, podcast. No, I don't want to talk about the football. I want to talk about Mohammed Al-Fayed. People keep saying to me, you're not supposed to call him Al-Fayed because Al was a sort of a name that he adopted.
Yeah, because that's like being a lord or a sir.
Right.
It's like being an Egyptian
and
aristocrat.
A scumbag.
And he was not an owl. He stuck that in himself.
No, right. So we'll come back to that.
Yeah, we'll come back to
that. We'll come back to that because we've got to start
with... Rather good Fulham owner, by the way.
Despite
his many faults.
Despite the fact that the women's team seems to have to protect themselves every time he fucking walked in. Anyway.
Is you having a shower?
Yeah, nice. Thank you, Mohammed. Anyway, so we've got to start off, I suppose, with, the crackdown on crime in Britain because we all know that, Sadiq Khan's looking out for us all in London. Meanwhile, Yvette Cooper's going to crack down on crime. They've had a fucking knife amnesty. They've banned ninja knives now. You can hand in your fucking zombie knife if you like. Meanwhile, there's a lot of cunts riding around on mopeds stealing phones. And I speak from experience because I had mine fucking nicked this week. At a bus stop. I mean, partly my own fault because I did the thing that I said I would never do, which is stand by the side of the road with my phone in my hand. But, I made a mistake and I fucking forgot because it was a spur of the moment thing. I was waiting for the bus. The bus sign didn't have a fucking a projection on it because it was out of order. So I thought I'll look on my bus app to see when the next bus is because if it's going to be 10 minutes or so, I just walk.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, I didn't even get a chance to turn around. I had my back to the road, the direction of travel, and there's a bus lane, and this fucking guy came up on a moped, literally didn't even slow down. He was doing about 20, 25 miles an hour, and he just literally grabbed it out of my hand, and he did it with such skill, right, that he didn't even touch my hand.
Really?
He literally just grabbed the phone.
Jesus
and just
Christ.
Took off, and then he looked back because I was like, "You fucking cunt," as you do. He looked back because I think he was a bit worried that if I was that fucking annoyed, I might have a gun or something.
Yeah,
and to be honest, if I had a fucking gun,
yeah,
I would have shot
shame.
The cunt.
What a shame.
But then, even more bizarrely, there's a police officer in a van across the way coming the other way. And of course, you can't turn right if you're where the police officer is
because they put
one of these ridiculous high curbs to control the traffic. So he pulls in. He doesn't get out of the car. I go over and talk to him. I said, I'm not sure what you want to do about this. That's probably nothing. Don't think there's anything he can do. I said, but I've just had my phone stolen. He went, oh, I'm really sorry. Really sorry. I said, yeah, well, that's fine. But, it doesn't really help me. He's like, best thing you can do. He said, I know it's difficult because you haven't got a phone, but just report it online. And it's like, well, you're a policeman. Can't you just take the details down and do it that way? No. Report it online. And he didn't really, I have nothing against him. He was a perfectly pleasant guy and he was very pleasant and very nice and all that. But fucking useless.
Yeah.
Fucking useless.
And didn't he tell you that he'd had his phone nicked while he was wearing uniform?
Yes, he said, yeah, do you know what? I had mine nicked last week. I said, really? I said, what, when you were on your way home or something? He said, no, I was wearing my uniform, walking around, and I was on the phone. Somebody came and nicked it off me.
You see, fucking Yvette Cooper, just basically at the Labour conference, this sort of crime crackdown cliche. Just we're going to crack down on crime.
Yeah.
Well, here's a good thing you could do. Instead of saying pathetically and weakly, we're going to hang off knife crime in 10 years. Big deal.
Fuck off.
That still means hundreds of people will be...
And thousands will die in the meantime.
Yeah, thousands will die in that decade. And if you halve it, it means that something like 130 people will be killed a year instead of the current rate of 260.
Right.
What a fucking useless...
Shit target.
Hopeless ambition.
Yeah.
But okay, fine. Have a go at knife crime.
But what about what happened to you? Mm. Why don't they say, we're going to crack down, we're going to stop these fuckers taking phones out of people's hands?
These cunts, they're on electric bikes, they're on scooters. Everybody knows who they are because you can see them. Yeah. You know, you can see them driving around. Most of them are, you know, wearing balaclavas and their faces are covered. And that's all they're doing. So if you're a police officer, you just fucking stop them. Chances are they've probably got a stolen moped. They probably haven't got a license. They're probably carrying some kind of offensive weapon or a drug or something like that. And make them fucking live in fear. Because if you start stopping them, they'll think, shit, maybe I better not drive around.
Have a squad to get them. And do you remember about 5 or 6 years ago, I remember, there was a real scourge, particularly around where I live in North London, Hampstead, with these moped gangs were steaming shops.
Right,
and they were literally, 20 of them would suddenly turn up, they'd steam a shot, nick everything in and zoom off. And they were like the scourge of the fucking neighbour.
Right, and how'd they get rid of those?
Well, this is what happened. The police said, right, we're going to, the local police said, right, we're going to fucking get these fuckers. Mm. And so a couple of coppers in a squad car, called out because somebody had steamed a shot, and they found the moped gang and they chased them.
Right.
And the moped gang, what they're used to doing is just because they know that the police aren't supposed to give too much. Oh, yeah. They're not supposed
because so they're worried about running people over.
Exactly. These coppers, credit to them, chased and chased and knocked the fuckers all off their bikes.
I remember that.
And got them. And what happened? The cops got charged.
Right. Fucking ridiculous.
This is fucking ridiculous. Yeah. So crime crackdown, utter cliche by Yvette Cooper. And if she really want to do something, it would have been interesting to say we're going to stamp down on mobile phone nicking because it is a massive
problem. It's a huge problem. And thousands of people are having their phones nicked every single day of the week, right? And it's now reached, I think, epidemic proportions. We had some stats, I think, not last week, the week before. I mean, funny enough, I was only talking about it the week before. So I say to my kids all the time, I said, look, if you're coming to London, don't get your phone out. If you do get it out, go in a doorway. Don't stand by the side of the road because they will fucking steal it.
Yeah.
And everybody now knows. I mean, I spoke to a couple of people, friends of mine yesterday, and went, fucking bastard stole my phone. They were like, oh, yeah, it happened to me last year. Oh, yeah, it happened to me last
year. Yeah, everybody.
Everybody's had it happen to them. It's almost like a part and parcel of living in fucking London now that you're going to get your fucking phone nicked.
And when you do get your phone nicked, my heart went out to you because a few months back I stupidly, drunkenly left my phone in a Uber cab.
Oh, shit.
Overnight. And
well, it's easily done.
Yeah.
We've all done it.
Funny enough, by a miracle, I managed to track the driver down and gave him 100 quid and he came back and gave it to me the next day. But the moment I did, first I thought, it's just a phone, I'll get a new phone. And then it dawns on you in stages just how much your life is wrapped around your fucking phone.
Yeah, my banking app is on it. I've got two credit cards on it. I mean, luckily, because I still had an iPad, I was able to get home and basically erase the phone. But I could see where he was. I could see exactly where he was.
Really?
Yeah, because I've got Find My iPhone, right? So you could see that he was in Deptford Church Street. Then you could see that he'd gone to Goldsmiths College. Then you could see that, you know, so if you were actually of a mind, if you were a copper, if you wanted to fucking track them.
They wanted to get them,
wanted, I could have done that. But I just thought, I'm never going to see it again. I'm not going to bother. I erased the phone and then I went and got a new SIM card. And that basically erases the SIM card. And I've checked still this morning. Luckily, nothing financial has happened because I think they can't get into most of the apps. They're not interested, really. They just want to sell the phone.
Yeah.
They just want to jailbreak it and sell it. But, you know, I fucking spent, I must say, at one point I thought, do you know what? I might just kill myself because it'll be simpler. I can't be fucking bothered because the final ignominy after everything that happened and I finally went and just got a new phone, came back to the house and started downloading all the stuff from the iCloud, right?
Yeah.
Thought I better ring the bank and just talk to them. They were happy. But I thought I'll have to use, because I couldn't dial out on the new phone that I had. And I've got a spare phone which no longer has data on it, so I couldn't use that. So I picked up my landline phone in the morning, first of all, to notice that it had no charge, because I hadn't used it for about fucking 4 years, right? So I'd put it on charge for the afternoon.
Yeah.
So about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, I rang the bank to talk it through with them.
Yeah.
And as we got to the kind of nitty-gritty, as it were, having told them, about the whole saga, about the whole story, they said, right, well, I think we certainly make a claim. You're absolutely covered. Can you just talk us through exactly what happened, right? And the phone just went dead. And I looked at it and I went, fucking cunt. It had run out of juice.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm going, and like, as usual, whenever you talk to these people, you haven't got a direct line to ring them back, right? Yeah. They don't know how to ring me back. So all I could think of doing was I thought, right, I'm going to try, because it's one of these, I mean, the phone's probably 10 years old. I put it back in the cradle, it's cordless, It was charging again, and I thought, I wonder if I can make it actually work like as a speakerphone,
right?
While it's charging. Okay. Luckily, I was able to do
okay,
it.
Okay, so you managed to.
So I managed to do that, but it was like, fuck me.
And then
that was like the 55th thing that had gone wrong that day.
And then you get that shit that I got a couple of months ago. Not as bad as you, obviously, but I fucked up something on my laptop.
Oh, yeah, I was going to ask you about that, because you said that your laptop needed replacing.
Well,
and then
that's
got it replaced.
Broken.
That was fucked.
No, I haven't
have you fixed that yet?
I haven't fixed it yet.
Fucking hell.
Basically, I needed to put my Apple password in. Like most people, I've forgotten what the fuck it is.
Right.
So, you know that
thing? I had as well.
You know that thing where you get forgotten your password,
password,
and then they send you an email. Okay, that's fine. But because it was my fundamental Apple password, I said, it said, forgotten your password? I said, yes, I put that in there. So it then sent me an email saying that in order to get a new password, I had to put the password in that I'd forgotten. Fucking, you know,
oh,
it's like
God.
Fucking ridiculous.
Well, I was trying to get to Vodafone, and normally they were like, well, you normally access Vodafone on your phone. This is a new device, because it was the iPad. So in order for us to be able to allow you access to the account, we'll send you a code by text.
Yeah, but I'm like, you fucking cunts. Phone!
I haven't got my fucking phone.
Exactly.
And so I couldn't get into it, right? And instead I had to go to the Vodafone shop, which is luckily not far away. It's up in the Surrey Quay shopping centre. But fuck me, I got up there and, I mean, thank God they did sort me out in the end, but they, two of the nicest guys, the slowest people you've ever seen in your life, they were dealing with two people. I was waiting an hour before they could
see
me.
That's the fucking thing.
And I'm like, how is it taking this long for you to just sort that guy out or sort this woman out? Why does it take so long?
But that cunt who nicked your phone condemns you to, like, basically 2 days of fucking hell.
Basically, it was not until about 8 o'clock this morning when everything finally came back.
It started to come back,
It started to come back overnight. But it wasn't until 8 o'clock this morning. I was just fucking raging when I came in, because I still couldn't get on Twitter. I couldn't get on fucking WhatsApp. I couldn't get my emails. I couldn't get anything.
And did you manage to close everything down that was on your other your stolen phone?
Yeah, well, I wiped it completely.
Can you do that?
You can do that with when you lose your phone. If it's got a thing called Find My iPhone.
Right.
It just basically tracks it, tells you where it is.
Right.
And you can wipe what's on it.
Okay,
and
so they can't
get into the details, you know.
And everything's okay.
Yeah. Well, so far, nobody's nicked anything.
Right.
So, apart from my family, you know, who take money regularly out of my fucking bank account. the thief apparently, you know, slightly old joke.
Different kind of thieves.
You know, slightly old joke, you know, a fucking cunt thief got hold of my fucking credit card, spent a load of money on it. But don't worry, it was still less than the fucking wife spent last
week.
Exactly, you
know.
Right.
I mean, you must have been hungry at the time. I bet you fancy a few sausages, didn't you?
Listen.
Or do you prefer hostages?
Sausage is definitely the word of the week, isn't it?
Fuck,
I mean, how the fuck does Keir Starmer, a man who's meant to be in charge of his faculties, a man who's meant to be, do you remember the word forensic?
They used to say, that's
very forensic. You know, he's like a lawyer. He will slice and dice you as if you were on the witness stand. That's how good he is. Well, really? Apparently he doesn't know the difference between a hostage and a fucking sausage. And that worries me quite a lot.
Well, he'll claim it was just a slip of the tongue.
It wasn't.
But either way, mate, you know, this is the Prime Minister. This is his keynote.
I'm sorry.
I'm with you. This is his keynote speech at his first Labour conference since getting into government. And his job, he had one job.
Yeah.
To get the words right.
Yes.
The fact he can't do that is fucking worrying. Mm. And that howler was a really bad howler to make. We're talking about hostages.
You know, you and I have done this a lot in our time, right? There are times when you can make a joke of things, and there are times when you can get away with making a mistake on things. But when you're talking about people that have been held hostage, raped, fucking brutalised, in some cases murdered, you can't get it fucking wrong. You've got to try extra hard to make sure you get it fucking right.
And I didn't notice this, but he missed his wife's mouth when he kissed her.
He did. Well, here's another thing, right? I'm going to say something which you may disagree with and which other people might think is unfair. I don't think it's a normal marriage. Now, I'm not going to explain exactly what I mean by that, but I don't think it's a normal marriage. They've got two kids, so I assume that you know, he's the father, she's the mother, all of that. But he looks awkward around her, right? She actually looks like quite an interesting woman. I think she's probably a bit of a nightmare to live with. I think she's a bit of a Meghan Markle type, you know. I think she's fucking God's gift to men. But I suspect that she's wearing the fucking trousers and he's not. But he goes to kiss her, and he basically misses. She's kissing him just between the nose and her upper and his upper lip. He's missed her down below her mouth.
It is odd, you know.
You know, and I know that I'll get fucking crucified by people for saying this, but I've kissed a lot of women, as I'm sure you have, and I've never fucking missed their mouth.
When the thing is, the only times I can remember sort of missing people when you're kissing,
it's an awkward thing.
It's people that you don't know that well.
Exactly.
When it's your wife or your girlfriend or someone, you never miss.
You never miss.
So that you're right. You know, she's got two nicknames to Downing Street.
Queen Vic is one, isn't it?
Queen Vic, yeah, after the EastEnders pub.
Get out of my pub.
And so apparently she rules the roost. My favourite one. Since she was caught taking 5,000 quid's worth of dresses from Lord Wahid Ali, the great Labour donor. Her new nickname is Victoria Sponger.
Yes, I love that. That is brilliant. And she will hate it because she's the kind of woman that will hate, one, being in the limelight. Do you remember I was critical of her and him when he took her off to Washington with him? I said, why is he taking his wife? He's going to see Joe Biden. He's clearly taking his wife because she wants to fucking go, right? Because before the election, we were told, oh, you know, she likes to keep a low profile. She's got a very important job in the NHS. She actually downgraded her job because she's a lawyer. Because she wanted to spend more time with her children. So we were given this impression that she was this amazingly kind of, you know, comfortable, lucky, very generous woman who cared more for her family than any kind of political ambition. Suddenly she's on the fucking plane to New York before you can say fucking Joe Biden, right?
Yeah.
And then she's holding his hand, which I always find to be particularly weird. If you've been married that fucking length of time. You know, I mean, you might say, actually, no, I fucking hold my wife's hand all the time. You know, I fucking don't.
No.
Well, because it would be weird.
In fact, I never do.
No, because you've been married long enough, you don't need to.
It's
a show.
That is a bit.
That was for show, in the same way this kiss was for show, and it looks fake to me. I don't know what's going on, but there's something weird about it.
But this is why they're so fucking useless, this Labour lot. So they've just had their conference. Bit of a shambles. A shit show. Very depressing.
They lost the vote on the fucking winter fuel allowance,
yeah,
right?
They got attacked by
people who said that they're supporting the wrong side in the fucking Hamas dispute. You know, they got fucking trade unions basically saying you shouldn't be voting to take money away from pensioners. You know, they got nothing right. And then he said sausages instead of hostages. Fuck me.
So here's what I would have done if I was Starmer. Lord Wahid Ali. I'd have said, Wahid, do me a favour, don't come to the fucking conference. And yet he goes.
And he goes, and then, worse than that, when he gets asked a few questions, he runs away like a fucking thief
of the
night.
Exactly what I was going to say. A, he shouldn't have been there.
Right.
Any sensible party would have said, you know, Wahid, under the circumstances, mate, give it a swerve.
Yeah, exactly.
Like the same reason
Sue
Gray didn't go.
She might be out of a job this week, we're told.
She will be, right? Sue, there's no doubt about that. She's the Dominic Cummings of the Labour government. As you say, but he goes. That was a big mistake.
Yeah.
But if he said, no, I'm insisting on going.
You're going to front it up,
then somebody from the Labour Party should have said, well, look, people are going to confront you. Journalists are gonna, this is what you do. You say, you know,
and this is what you say.
Something, you know, I'm just here to attend the conference and I'm afraid I don't want to discuss that or I have no comment. Have a nice day. That kind of thing. Instead, you've got this sullen silence.
Also,
from a guy
to put his hand up to the camera.
Silence from a guy who looked like a fucking criminal.
Right.
That, you know, what's wrong with these people? They got no idea about how to manage these situations.
I don't think they have. And it's almost as though the people who are advising Starmer and his band of merry fucking men and women in Downing Street haven't got a fucking clue, not only about how people see them, but also about how the press actually operates. I mean, I said this at the beginning of the week, when that picture came out of Starmer and David Lammy and Sue Gray in the box at Tottenham, right?
Yeah.
Did they really not think that if he put a picture out, which he did the week before when the game actually took place, picture of him and Lammy at White Hart Lane saying, having a great day, the boss won.
Sue Gray was there as well, wasn't she?
No, I know, but what I'm saying is that they put that picture out as an official picture. You can see the pitch behind them. Did they not think that one of the Sunday papers might go, do you know what? Let's see if there's any more pictures of Starmer at White Hart Lane. And then they found a picture of him sitting in a fucking box with Lammy, with a couple of lobbyists, some of whom we know, and fucking and Sue Gray. And it all looks wrong, because here's a guy who says, oh, I have to go and watch my team play. Well, hang on, you've now told us you have to be in a box at Arsenal, you now have to be a box at White Hart Lane. Do me a favour.
Yeah.
Fuck right off.
Well, if you want to go see your team, if you insist you have to be in a private box, fucking well pay for it.
Well, I mean, people now say that he pays for a season ticket at Arsenal, right? But
they give him a hospitality.
They give him a hospitality box.
Well, there's
thousands
of pounds difference.
Yeah, exactly right.
And by the way, as you pointed out last week, Mike, and many other people have as well, what, who the fuck does he think he is? If Prince William goes and sits in the stands, other politicians go and sit in the stands.
Their latest argument is, well, you know, back in the day when Rishi Sunak was Prime Minister, they didn't have to worry about the threat from Hamas. Well, I think they did actually, because October the 7th, 2023, was when it started.
Yeah.
And I think you'll find that
Rishi Sunak
was an awful lot more fucking anti-Hamas than fucking Keir Starmer is.
Yeah, right? And was in power until July the 4th.
Yeah.
So that argument doesn't stack up.
That's the other argument.
But
that's
very interesting what you say. Sue Gray is a dead woman walking.
No question. She won't last till Christmas, in my view. Some think she'll last into the new year and she'll be quietly forgotten about.
Did you say you heard that she might go very soon?
Well, I was told this week by somebody up at conference that she'll be out by the end of the week.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
Which would be quite surprising, because it would look like they've made a fucking mistake. But the trouble is, they're making one mistake after another. Again, just this week, after all of the fucking shit about the £68,000 photographer for Angela Rayner, after all the shit about the apartment in New York, after Keir Starmer owning up to the fact that he had used the £20,000 accommodation allowance from Ali to have meetings in his penthouse in Covent Garden, right? He now comes out and says, oh no, it was actually for my son. It was for my son who was doing his GCSEs, and he needed to have a quiet space to work in. And so I took advantage of it, and it was the right thing to do. And as somebody pointed out, oh yeah, so you don't mind showing your privilege and spending money, whether it's your money or somebody else's money, but you don't want people to be able to pay money to put their kids into private school without punishing them with fucking VAT, you fucking cunt.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Right? By the way, on Sue Gray, right, so the big story, I could never get that excited about the fact she earns 170 grand
a year. I didn't care so much about that.
And the Prime Minister earns 167. Yeah. She earns 3 grand more than the Prime Minister. Well, she's not a politician, she's running the office.
Yeah, no, listen, I care more about what she's doing.
Yeah, exactly right. However, so I was watching Newsnight last night, and you remember that fuckwit Barry Gardner, the attack dog.
Oh, yeah.
Still stupid after all.
Is he still an MP?
Yeah, still stupid after all these years. So he's on Newsnight.
Very softly spoken, isn't he?
Yeah, but it's a slightly Welshy accent.
Yeah, weird, I don't know.
Anyway, he completely misses.
Might as well call him Chauncey fucking Gardner.
Very friendly with China, apparently. But he completely missed the point.
Yeah.
Goes off on this fucking great rant about what a scandal it was that Simon Case, head of the civil service, he's called the cabinet secretary, he's the top civil servant in the country, leaked this information about her salary to the press.
Yeah.
Well, there's two things about it. So Victoria Derbyshire turned on and said, well, we don't know anything about that.
Yeah.
Are you right now on national television making that declaration?
Yes.
She said, it's a very interesting story if you're saying it's 100% true.
Right.
And he went, well, it's what I've heard.
Yes.
So he backtracked a bit.
Right.
But his idea of the scandal was that a civil servant was leaking details
and you know what?
About the chief of staff.
What's interesting
salary.
About that,
that's
that,
not the scandal.
Is that that's something they cooked up, because I saw that argument being made by a couple of Labour apparatchiks on Twitter.
Bullshit, isn't
so they'd obviously come up with a plan and gone, let's blame Simon Case, you know, because he's out of a job anyway, because he's moving on.
Yeah.
Apparently he suffers some neurological disease, which I didn't know about.
Yeah.
That's by the way.
Cuntishness.
Well, possibly so. But the idea that they continue to tell lies and they continue to not understand that that's damaging them.
Yeah.
It's quite extraordinary.
Yeah, the same thing.
They say one thing and then they end up having to correct it. Keir Starmer has now told us two different stories about the 20,000, right? The accommodation was either for the party to use the property in Covent Garden as a place to have, you know, meetings, to raise funds, to have fucking... He supposedly spent the night of the election there. They were supposedly plotting all sorts of things there. He now says it was used by his son. What the fuck? Yeah. It can't be both, can it?
I've been to that apartment, by the way.
Have you?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I know someone...
I wouldn't give you 18 million for it.
No,
but,
I mean,
it's very nice.
I've seen pictures inside of the apartment in New York. I don't know if you've been there.
No, I haven't been there.
But it's full of fucking Damien Hirst's artwork.
Oh, the guy's
it's got an
money.
Amazing fucking view of the Hudson. It's 56 floors
incredible.
Up. The guy... But it's the bottom line, again, still, that we can't seem to get out of the Labour Party and we can't seem to get anybody to fucking comment on is, what is he actually doing? I keep asking that. I had fucking Jonathan Reynolds on last week. I said, what's he doing? I don't know. Well, he's a big donor for the Labour Party. Yeah, but why is he in Downing Street? What's his fucking, you know, what's his deal? Does he have a job? No. Does he have a title? No. I mean, if you want to have the guy as an advisor, have him as an advisor. Tell us openly. You don't have to pay him because he doesn't need the money. But we need to know what he's actually day-to-day doing inside of government business and influencing it, right? Because we know, for example, that in his time working with Tony Blair, he was very active in getting, you know, the homosexual age of consent down. He was very active in getting homosexual rights. Not a problem. I don't have a care in the world about that. But I do have a care in the world about whatever he's doing now. And I want to know what he's actually being paid. What, you know, what is his role?
I was down at, they have this, him and his partner, Charlie Parsons, who's a very old friend of mine.
Yeah.
They have this massive Great and the Good Party once every 2 years.
Down in Kent.
At their stately home down in Kent. And and the rest. And I was there in 2012 during the Olympics.
Yeah.
Right. And I always remember we were winning everything. Team GB. Yeah. And I remember, I can't remember what the event was, but I was standing around the swimming pool with a big screen.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like standing in the middle of the fucking cabinet, you know, with the Miliband brothers either side.
Yeah.
And fuck knows who else, and Blair was there and everything. So they've always, or Waheed has always moved among the great and the good. And I, you know, I do know him, and I know it, this isn't, I know this. Because of knowing him, because I've known him a long time. This isn't about improving his business. It's getting good deals for his business. Mm. He just loves being a power broker.
Yeah.
He just loves being a mover and a shaker.
But still, he will have a view on things.
He's an influential man. Yeah.
And so we need to know precisely what he's been consulted about. I don't believe he's just going into Downing Street to have a cup of tea with people and then fuck off again.
He advises them and they listen.
Right. But the point is, it's a bit like when, you know, people aren't making the comparison between Keir Starmer and the so-called football regulator they're going to start up. Now, if he's getting favours from the Football League, from the Premier League, from the FA, and from Arsenal in particular, you know, how can he be fucking neutral when it comes to the possibility of setting up a football regulator which will go against the wishes of UEFA and against the wishes of fucking FIFA? He's in the fucking shit with that, isn't he?
There are lots of things. There's a direction of travel going on around Starmer that he doesn't understand. As you say, I think he's not even really across the fact that he's going to have to lose Sue Gray pretty fucking quick, a la Dominic Cummings.
Yeah.
She is Labour's Dominic Cummings. And the other thing that he doesn't quite realise is he's going to have to stop taking freebies.
Yeah.
Not just
free clothes.
Exactly right. So last Friday, there was this sort of Damascene moment where, you know, and we'd all been screaming. So the whole nation going, you fucker, stop taking freebies.
Yeah.
And he just like blanked us like he does, old Starmer. Because he's like politically autistic. If he doesn't like something,
he just doesn't.
He pretends
it's not an issue.
He pretends it's not happening. So suddenly on Friday, it was around about 4 o'clock. Him, Rachel Reeves, and Angela Rayner announced that they would no longer take free clothes.
Right.
Now that's a really significant moment.
Yes.
Because it meant they've realised there's a problem here.
Yeah.
What they don't fucking realise yet is that's the beginning.
Yes.
That's the thin end of the wedge. You've got to stop taking anything.
Because 2 days before that, I'd had Jonathan Reynolds on, who had been thrown out to the fucking wolves to basically justify them taking free clothes, right? And he said, like all the fucking Labour lines were before him on the Sunday, when Angela Rayner said, well, this has been going on for a long time and everybody takes freebies. That's not a defence.
Exactly.
People listening who buy their own clothes, who pay for their own holidays, who pay for their own glasses, and who pay for their own fucking football and concert tickets are going, don't talk, absolute shite.
Yeah, and what about Wes Streeting, the health secretary? He said that giving politicians free stuff, and I quote, is a noble pursuit.
Yep. It's like giving,
money to charity.
Fuck off,
Streeting.
He's turned out to be a right twat.
Well, and he's the same as the fucking rest of the
bunch. Yeah, but I thought at the point of going into government, he was one of the few
one
people
of the better one.
Who
I think
I
he probably
might
still
be good.
Is.
I'm not sure. No, he's the things he's come out with tell me that he's not ready for government. He's not ready for prime time. He's too fucking immature. He's too much of a wanker.
I'll say I accept that. Right? Let's state the obvious. He will be the latest health secretary who makes a fucking great fuck up of the NHS.
Yeah, he won't make any
difference
at all.
He will not reform it.
No,
nothing's going to happen.
No. So look at what's happened. During conference, in the middle, I thought it was beautiful timing, by the way. Of course, everyone's pretending it was just an accident. But, you know, in the middle of Rachel Reeves saying how great she was getting on with the public sector unions. Rachel fucking. You know what? I said this on Plank of the Week this week. She looks like Richard III, right? She's fucking Richard III. I kid you not. You know that famous painting that hangs in the fucking Tower of London with the straight black hair? Yeah. It's her, right?
She certainly gave me the hump.
Yeah. Fuck me. Anyway, so, yeah.
Yeah, well, she. Yeah,
but, I mean, but
her voice, she's worse than Starmer.
In the midst of the fucking speech where she's banging on about how lovely it all is that they've got finally a great deal going with the public sector unions, the fucking Royal College of Nursing announces, we're rejecting your 5.5% pay rise, fucking fuckwit.
Well, I wonder why. So they give 22% to the doctors, they give 20% to the train drivers, and then they go to the nurses, we'd like to offer you 5.5%.
Yeah, but of course.
I wonder why they said no.
Yeah, but also, hang on, they got 5% last year, so they've already said this is now a 10.5% pay rise, you know, so actually,
they're going to just say the doctors got 22%.
Yeah, of course
that's the mistake that Labour have made. We are now on the gravy train. Yeah. The unions are going to get worse and worse.
Yeah.
And worse.
Totally. Let's talk about old fired or fired.
Fired.
You say it was a great fucking.
We did well under him.
He brought the Michael Jackson statue to Craven Cottage, right? Yeah. I used to know some. You will remember James Steen, presumably.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
James Steen was the guy that went off to be the editor of Punch magazine. His fired bought Punch. And sort of rescued it from oblivion.
That's right, yeah. I remember.
And then turned it into a really fucking shit magazine, by the way, because it used to be quite erudite.
It was all right, yeah.
Alan Corrin. A friend of mine used to work there, she was a former picture editor at News. She went over there, and she used to tell me stories that Old Fired would come wandering around, and he was really inappropriate with the women. And he used to say...
That picture is emerging.
He used to say things to her like, have you ever seen two elephants fucking? She'd be like, no, not really. Would you like to? I have pictures in my apartment. And she'd be going, and she wasn't particularly young, this woman, you know, that I knew, my friend. And she was just like, it was constant. He didn't have ordinary conversations. He just had weird conversations. Always about sex.
And people go, oh my God, look at all these revelations about Al Fayed. Well, fucking hell.
Everybody knew.
He was accused of rape back in 2015.
Well, hey, this takes us back to old Sakir drama,
When Keir Starmer was the director of public prosecution.
I do not believe, I don't know about you, I do not believe in one fucking iota of the world's fucking history that he didn't know that there was an investigation going on into Mohammed Fayed.
Well, there was an investigation.
Yes, I know, but what I'm saying is he's claiming, he did with Jimmy Savile, it never came across my desk. Absolute bollocks.
Doesn't matter anyway, he's the fucking boss.
I agree with you, I think he knew about it. If you were working for somebody who was the head of the DPP and you suddenly had this very high-profile case coming to you, surely to God you would go and have a word with the fucking boss and go, what do you want to do about this? Because, you know, we can pursue it or we can not pursue it. We've got a lot of people complaining that he's raped them, he's assaulted them, that he's been sexually fucking, you know, abominable around them. He must have known. He must have said, we're not going
to
do it.
It looks to me as if...
And he's too fucking flaky to admit
if
it.
Keir Starmer was the Director of Public Prosecutions in charge of charging people and getting them into court, it was a really good time to be rich, powerful, and a bit of a bastard.
Yeah.
So, and you can't stand there and say, I didn't know about Jimmy Savile. I reckon he did. And I'm certain...
He must have.
...about Al Fayed. Mm. He looks to me to be the kind of DP... as if the defendant or the suspect was rich, powerful, and a man of influence or a person of influence, what's his name, Keir Starmer, sort of just said, oh, we'll forget about that, we'll move on. So his contention that he was a brilliant DPP, he was bollocks, he was shit.
Yeah.
As I said last week, 27 Sun journalists he put into court at the cost of tens of millions, maybe hundreds of millions to the public purse. Every single one of them acquitted.
Yeah.
So he was a shit DPP.
He was a shit DPP, and he needs to stop referring to himself as a great DPP and somebody who came to politics late. Well, you didn't come to politics late because you were clearly a political appointment when you were made the Director of Public Prosecutions, and you clearly made it a political fucking appointment because of the way that you prosecuted certain people and didn't prosecute certain other people.
Yeah. Right? To go back to Al Fayed, right? So the Fulham fans... To this day, what did he die? He died, 2 years ago?
It was only last year, I think.
Yeah, was it? Okay, to this day, every match they sing, Al Fayed, Al Fayed, he wants to be a Brit. And QPR are shit. Al fired.
So I always say when they sing, I said, well, there's a number of
problems. It's always good context.
Yeah, there's a number of problems here. I don't have a problem with the QPR being shit. But yes, there was a time when he wanted to be a Brit and they wouldn't give him a passport. But since he's died, it doesn't seem to be much of an issue, really.
Well, I'm quite surprised that it's come up all these months after he died, because clearly, you know, without wishing to put too fine a point on it, there's a law firm involved in this which is going to make an awful lot of money, right? Now, I don't doubt...
Who did they sue, though?
Well, they're going to go... they're going after Harrods, right? Because they're saying that Harrods did not show due care and attention. They're saying that Harrods employed people, particularly when he was their boss, basically to procure women, you know.
But
Harrods obviously will mount the defence, and I don't know what the veracity of any of...
Well, Harrods say they're doing their own investigation.
Well, Harrods could perhaps say, look, that was a different management.
They can try They can try that, but I think what is being said by the law firm is that they did not fully investigate when they should have done. People went to them and complained and they didn't do anything. It's that kind of problem.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, in this day and age of Me Too, like, look at P. Diddy, for fuck's sake, you know.
Yeah.
This guy had parties that everybody wanted to go to.
Yeah.
But now it turns out that everybody wants to fucking sue him and everybody wants to prosecute him for all the shit that went on at those parties that everybody wanted to go to. Yeah. So that's the fucking background. And I'm afraid Harrods are in the shit, because not only are Harrods in the shit, Fulham are also in the shit, because Fulham will be accused of not showing due care and attention to their female players, and probably there might be a few...
I wonder if that hasn't come up yet, but it probably will.
Well, no, it has. No,
the
story's come out that the women's football team had asked for special measures to be taken to stop him from fucking walking
in. The women's football team ruled him offside.
No, they did. Well, because he kept fucking walking into the dressing room, apparently, when everyone having a shower.
Sorry, I shouldn't laugh.
I know, but this is the thing. You can't be doing that shit.
No,
you know,
it's true.
I'm sorry, he's guilty as fucking charged, because we know what he's like. And worse than that is the guy who was for a while quite frequently on fucking talk, hasn't been seen for a few days, Michael Cole, the guy who was the fucking former BBC royal correspondent, who was then became his PR. And I remember saying to him months and months ago, when we were still filming out in Ealing, and Jeremy Carl had him on as a guest for something or other, and I said, well, why should we believe anything you fucking say? You worked for Al Fayed for years and covered up his fucking dastardly dealings. He just kind of brushed it aside, you know. But he can't be found. Nobody's talking. He's not talking to anyone, because he's being accused of being... And in fact, I read a piece about him at the weekend which said he would often be in a box at Fulham behaving in a very odd way. Now, you call that what you like, but you know what it's like at football. If you go to a box, whether it's Fulham, whether it's Arsenal, usually there are some quite young women doing the fucking serving, right?
Yeah, that's
normally
true.
In my experience, anyway.
Yeah.
They're always pretty attractive. And, you know, clearly, you know, there were things that happened at Fulham that people will be looking into. Simple as that.
Well, all I can say is we fucking thrashed Wolves at the weekend.
Yeah, it's good to know your priorities are in the right place.
We got 3.31.
I don't give a shit.
Pissed on them.
Anyway, we're out of time. Fucking we did on 36 minutes, mate.
Yes, we are.
There's a lot to talk about still, but we'll catch up with it next week.
Yep.
Fuck you lot.
Go fuck yourselves.
We'll see you later.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait, and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.